For a few moments this morning, let's turn to the Song of Solomon, and we're coming to the fourth verse of the third chapter. Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 4. The Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, and would not let him go, until I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Dear congregation, the believer is in union with the altogether lovely Lord Jesus. In the fifth chapter and verse 16 of this Song of Solomon, we read, "Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend." And we who love the Lord, we present him as such. He is altogether lovely. We've never been disappointed in him. He's our beloved, and he is our friend. Dear brethren, we know him to be such, and we are blessed, for we are in union with him. In chapter 2, verse 16, we read, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." Well, as we think of that union will never be broken. It will be forever with the Lord. However, at times the believer may sense and feel the absence. Come and meet verse 1 of this chapter. "By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." Now, the Song of Solomon chiefly concerns Christ and the church. Psalm 45, as some in the past have made known, is the key to unlock the psalm. Well, with Hebrews chapter 2 to guide us, we use the key, Psalm 45, to unlock this Song of Solomon. And we see there in Psalm 45, in reference to Hebrews 2, much concerning Christ. But then particularly consider our Lord made plain on the road to Emmaus to those two disciples that in all the scriptures, which included the Song of Solomon, there were those things concerning himself. Luke 24 and verse 27. So we chiefly look for Christ in the Song of Solomon and his church. Now, as we come to the third chapter, there have been those who have turned to these words, and as they have done so, they have considered the church in the Old Testament looking for a new day in which Christ would be more clearly seen with the eye of faith. John Gill writes, "The day being not yet broke, the night of Jewish darkness still on the church, and the shadow of the ceremonial law as yet stretched upon her." So some have thought that. However, we particularly consider a time of difficulty when the church or the individual believer feels the absence of Christ. Yes, he is not totally withdrawn as to never return. The union will never be broken, but one feels the absence. "By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." Feeling the absence, the church or the believer now gives more attention to seeking to find Christ. And then we come to verse 4. "It was but a little that I had passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me." Without any further introduction, I'd like us to consider, first of all, where is Jesus, my beloved? Where is Jesus, my beloved? Secondly, searching for my beloved. And then thirdly, finding and holding on to my beloved. Where is Jesus, my beloved? Searching for my beloved. Finding and holding on to my beloved. Let's come again to verse 1. "By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." Where is Jesus, my beloved? The church, or the particular or individual believer, is missing now the beloved. And as we mentioned earlier, the Lord will never totally withdraw from his people. He is in union with them. In Romans 8 verse 35 we read, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall or what? Not even death itself. That union will never be broken. Nothing will totally or absolutely separate us, dear brethren, from Christ. That wonderful union. However, there are times, as we see here, but also in other passages of Scripture, when the beloved withdraws to a distance. Let's just pause and consider for a moment the beloved. We're thinking of the beloved who withdraws to a distance. Now, many have just considered Solomon, whose name is mentioned in the song, and in him a beloved husband. Our Lord on the road to Emmaus considered himself. For in all the Scriptures there are those things which concern him. So when we consider the beloved, we are to go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Solomon's name means peace or peaceful. Here we consider Jesus the Prince of Peace. And what peace we have known, dear brethren, in the arms of Jesus and in sweet communion with him. But the Prince of Peace has withdrawn to a distance here, as we see in the song. Now there are lessons that a husband and wife can sit down together and learn from as they go through this song, considering their own marriage. However, that's just by passing. We are to particularly consider Christ and his church. And at this point, that Christ has withdrawn to a distance. Now the church or the individual is viewing Christ as the beloved. By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. He's the beloved. We see that throughout the song. Chapter 2, verse 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. My beloved. Consider here the believer thinking this of Christ. In verse 1, whom my soul loveth. What are you thinking about Christ at this very moment? Jesus asked some Pharisees on a certain occasion, recorded for us in Matthew 22, verse 42, what think ye of Christ? What do you think of him now? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say that he is my beloved and that he is mine? One of old wrote, dear Saviour, thou art mine, how sweet the thought to me. Let me repeat thy name and lift my heart to thee. Mine, 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 I know thou art mine. Saviour, dear Saviour, I know thou art mine. And what a blessing to be able to truly say that. To look to the Lord who is in glory, who hears all things, and to say, Lord, thou art mine. Are you truly believing? Tonight we will consider those disciples, the Lord willing, who, though they were disciples in name, they were not in truth. And they were questioned. And later came another question to the 12, will you also go away? Are you truly believing? Can you say in your heart this morning of Christ, my beloved is mine, verse 16 of chapter 2, and I am his. Well, consider him this morning. He is the beloved, the loved one, the esteemed one. Reverend John Brown of Haddington, commenting on verse 1, speaks this, the much value desired and delighted in, the much value desired and delighted in one has gone. Well, he is the beloved of the Father at the Mount of Transfiguration. The voice came, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him, my beloved Son. Such love the Father has towards the Son. Hear ye him, hear the beloved one. The Father delighted in him. He was obedient to the Father. And here upon earth he finished the work that he was given to do. He was beloved of the Father. But consider here, he is beloved of the saints, that is, his people. My beloved, my esteemed one. 1 Peter 2, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, highly valued. Have you thought on Christ this past week as the most precious possession or one you have in your life. You have something in your life that is precious, and so you think often of it or often of that one. Are you thinking regularly of Christ? If he is so precious to you. He's altogether lovely. Song of Solomon 5 verse 16. Ebenezer Erskine wrote, her esteem of him is such that she just admires everything in him and about him. Beautiful, wonderful is my beloved. I've never been disappointed in Christ. Yes, disappointed in myself, but never in Christ. He is altogether lovely. He is the beloved. Is that what you're thinking of him? A bride walking into a church, up the aisle, looks up and looks on her husband-to-be as her beloved. We saw a picture of the bride last Saturday looking on her husband as they made their journey in a carriage. Well, as you look up, are you viewing Christ this morning as the beloved? Yet what do we read here in verse 1? By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. We have a picture here to help us understand. Here's a wife at night time, awake in her bed, half asleep. But as the time passes, she becomes increasingly aware that her husband is not there. There is darkness, and her beloved husband is not there. Particularly now, consider Christ. He's withdrawn. For the believer, a night has come. There's darkness. And the beloved Redeemer is not there. He's withdrawn to a distance. It's a testing time. The believer does not clearly see the Lord, maybe. Faith is small. There may be spiritual slumber. She's lying on a bed, half asleep. It's night time, and the beloved is not there. Yes, it is cold outside of her bed. And now this bed of ease and slumber seems so agreeable at the present time, and she does not truly seek, as she ought to do, the Lord. She begins to stir, and there's confusion. Thoughts are going through the mind. Yet the believer here is half-heartedly seeking the Lord. By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. There's the believer. It's dark. And they're on a bed of slumber and ease. And it seems so agreeable to them. They begin to think, oh, where is he? But they only half-heartedly seek him. You know, it's like young ones to be told to get up in the morning. Yet the bed seems so agreeable. And you find it hard getting up to go to school, college, or maybe even some of you who are older to work. Well, here this bed now of ease and slumber seems so agreeable at the present time. And the believer half-heartedly seeks the Lord. Where is he? Yes, they're aware, and they're increasingly aware that he's not there. Where is he? But they do not seek with diligence and fervency. Because there is coldness in the soul. Yes, there's coldness outside, we could picture here. But coldness has come into the soul. On Wednesday in the daytime, it was very hot here. And so we opened the windows of the chapel for our midweek meeting. But halfway through, I felt the breeze coming through that window. And it cooled down. Well, there are times when we feel the coldness. Is it not true? Sometimes we're not aware. We're so asleep, as it were. But other times we feel the coldness. It may be the cold waters of worldliness begin to fill our hearts. It may be the dark, cold river of slumber is surrounding us. Dear brethren, there can be times of coldness in your soul. And in light of this situation described here, the beloved has withdrawn himself a little, and we do not know that warmth in the soul. Matthew Henry wrote, her understanding was clouded. It was by night, in the dark. Her affections were chilled. Now, not every time when we feel the Lord is at a distance, is it because we've done something wrong? Let me make that plain. You may be going through a challenging time and you're struggling. You may be going through a time of sickness and you're struggling. You don't feel the Lord's presence. However, we do see in Scripture, there are times because of our backsliding, because of our coldness, when Christ withdraws to a distance. You turn over to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, the beloved has come. But notice the response in verse 3. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I'm just too tired. I've got time for that television program, but I haven't got time for thee, thou who art altogether lovely. I'm slumbering. I put off my coat, how should I put it on? I have washed my feet. But then the believer is stirred, verse 4, by the approach of Christ. Then verse 5, I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with mirth. Verse 6, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. The union is not broken, but there's a withdrawing to a distance. Where is my beloved? John Brown of Huntington, when the much desired Jesus, whom my soul sincerely loved, and whom I would gladly love with 10,000-fold more ardency, withdrew his sensible presence. A few months ago, the Reverend Morris Roberts, in concluding his address on revival, suddenly said this: we have driven thee away, we miss thee, come back. Yes, the Lord is with his people. And we have enjoyed times of the Lord's presence. But oh, none of us have so witnessed the Lord so coming to his church in revival. We have driven thee away. We miss thee. Come back. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Where is my beloved Jesus? And you may find yourself in that situation. And you begin to reason. I haven't been given him the time as I ought to have been given him recently. Where is my beloved Jesus? You may be drawn to the well. Those television programs, they're gripping your soul. And you're just pushing your Bible readings to one side. And then you begin to say, where is Jesus, my beloved? Well, let's consider secondly and more briefly. Searching for my beloved. Searching for my beloved. Verse 1. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Now the church or the individual believer is aware that the Lord is not close. We've seen that already, but in verse 1, they do not seek the Lord in diligency or in fervency. But now come to verse 2. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets. You see the change? The believers on that bed of slumber and ease, but they're being stirred. They feel it more and more. I will rise now. They get off that bed of slumber and ease. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets. And in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Now what's happening here? The Holy Spirit is beginning to stir the soul. And there's a little warmth now in the heart. Some animals in the winter hibernate. And what happens? Their heartbeat slows right down. The groundhog, or woodchuck, in winter hibernates and may only breathe 10 times per hour. Their heartbeat slows right down. It's nearly freezing. They're not dead, but their hearts are only just beating a little. But when the warmer weather comes in the spring, what happens? The heartbeat becomes a little stronger. And that's what we're seeing in verse 2. I will rise now. Been on a bed of slumber and sleep, slumber and ease, But now there's a little activity more. I will rise now and go about the city. The warmth is beginning to come. The believer is feeling it more. Where is my beloved Jesus? I want him. The believer may have been in the depths of winter, as it were, in hibernation. But now the heart is beginning to beat a little faster. A spring in the soul is on its way. The spring is in verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. There's the springtime. But in verse 2, there's the evidence that the spring is on its way. And dear brethren, be thankful for those times when the spring is on its way. Yes, you're still in winter, but your heart is beginning to warm. There are times in my life when I want to know more of Christ. I long to know him more in an intimate way. Let me underline again, it may be a different situation. You haven't done something particularly wrong. You may be struggling and you're cast down. You just don't seem to find him. Yes, you're being more diligent, but you do not seem to find him. But oh, the Holy Spirit will stir your heart more and more. He's stirring the soul, as we see in verse 2, and exciting the graces. Yes, the believer in verse 3 speaks of Christ, him whom my soul loveth. The believer knows they love Christ, they have love in the heart, but their love is being aroused in verse 2. They want that closeness again. The believer has got up. See, the Lord is working in the heart. Now we read here, I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways will I seek. One is searching. They're going to the streets where people have access to and gather, to the broad ways where many assemble and the King is known in the midst. And so we are led to consider the church, and particularly the visible church here upon earth, and local congregations, the streets and the broadways, where people assemble, where they have access to, and they gather, and the King is known walking in the midst, as we see in Revelation and the early chapters. Here upon earth, in a spiritual way, Christ is known in a special manner in the gatherings of the saints. Like Asaph, I have gone to the house of God. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets. The city, we're thinking of the church, particularly as we see in the New Testament. The city of the beloved Redeemer. And we think of the public gatherings and the ordinances when we think of the streets and the broadways, places where people assemble, where the King is known. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broadways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. Here's the believer. They know where they have so enjoyed Christ in times past. Yes, they've enjoyed him in their own homes. But they long for the times when the Lord draws near in that special way. And so they go. They're being drawn back like Asa. I must go to church, because that's where I've been blessed often. But what do we read at the end of verse 2? I sought him, but I found him not. They come to church. They're in the gatherings of the saints. We think particularly of that, where Christ is promised in the midst, he will be known, but he's not found by this believer. I've said this before here in this place. In the gatherings, when Christ is here in a special and spiritual way, a number of you may be sensing the Lord's presence, but there may be one of you here. You still feel the distance. Christ has promised to be where two or three are gathered together. He's here in a spiritual way, but you may even be here this morning still feeling the distance. I sought him, but I found him not. Let's be honest. Do we always focus on Christ as we walk into the church building and sit down? Do we always? Is it a little later till we begin to consider Christ? Do we always think of Christ at the beginning of the service? Are our hearts always focused on him as we're singing? Let's be honest. Some may be sensing the Lord, but there may be one. I'm seeking him, but I still do not know his nearness. I sought him, but I found him not. Now it's believed here that why this believer does not find is because the believer is being chastised in view of former sloth. The believer has been on a bed of ease and sloth. Half-heartedly they sought the Lord in verse 1. Their hearts were stirred in verse 2. But the Lord is going to teach them a lesson. Now let me underline again. Not every time you do not sense the Lord's presence, is it because the Lord is chastising you? No, but we have to accept. Sometimes we do not find him in our quiet times. Sometimes we do not find him in the church services because we were slothful a few hours before or in the week. He's the altogether lovely one. Have you said to him, I haven't got time for thee this week? Where he may lovingly chastise. You're going to have to learn a little lesson. You're going to have to humble yourself a little more. And seek me more diligently. I sought him, but I found him not. It's not easy, is it? When you're seeking, and you may even come to a church service, and yet, where is Jesus, my beloved? We read on. Verse 3, the watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Here are the spiritual guides. The watchmen in the Old Testament were the prophets. Ezekiel 33 verse 7. In the New, they are the ministers of the gospel. Hebrews 13 verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. We can think of preaching. Maybe a particular part of the sermon hits the believer. But then consider the believer talking to the watchman. The believer may be helped as they listen. And the watchman counsels and the watchman guides. The minister may pray with the believer, may even rebuke. Now ministers of the gospel are despised by many. Yet God uses the faithful servant. A sermon may be preached and used by the Lord. A word of counsel is given and it helps the believer. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Here's the believer talking about something upon their heart to the minister. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Believer seeking. Has not found that closeness yet, but they're inquiring. And then we come to verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them. But I found him whom my soul loveth. Just a little time after I passed from them, the believer's still searching. Maybe the believer's gone home now. They're still searching. They've known a measure of help. They've been helped by the minister, but their mind is set on the beloved. The believer's seeking. And what do we read? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. Here's the believer. Their heart is stirred, they're seeking, and then Christ is before them. And now we come to our third and final point. Finding and holding on to my beloved. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house. And into the chamber of her that conceived me. I found him. I was aware that he had withdrawn from a distance, but now, as it were, he's before me. I found him. John Brown of Haddington said, I have found the darling of my soul, the one I so love. I go back to verse 1. By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. There's love. Love is aroused in verse 2. There's the pursuit of Christ. And now Christ is found. He's near. I found him whom my soul loveth. I was aware of his returning presence. There is his eye. There is his smile of favour. There is his eye of love upon me. Blessed is the time when the beloved is found in your life, dear brethren. When he is sensed and he is known, there is joy and delight. But I found him whom my soul loveth. What is there to compare to fellowship with Christ? That dining with Christ. A number of you like to go out to a restaurant. Not very good food, is it? Compared to the feast of with Christ. What a blessing to dine with Christ. To enjoy that fellowship with him. And blessed are those times. I fear the winter times in my soul. But here's a springtime. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I found him. There's joy and delight. And precious are those moments when we just have an awareness of Christ, and Christ has visited our soul in that gracious way. The believer seeking, suddenly the Lord is before them. He's made a gracious visit of love to the believer. It was but a little that I passed from, but I found him whom my soul loved. Precious are the times when our mind is focused on Christ. We're aware of him. We sense him. It brings joy. It brings pleasure. Just to be able to look up, I know thou art there. And you feel your love going in his direction. Your affections aroused. It brings joy and it brings pleasure. And what do we note here? But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him. But I found him. The search is over. The winter is past. Now Christ is before me. I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him. There's an embrace. I'm not going to let thee go. Remember what one of old Jacob said. I will not let thee go. Till thou bless me. And he was allowed to wrestle with the Lord. I held him. Now some believe that the Lord is just testing the believer here. He's making out he's going to pass on. So the believer holds, I'm not going to let thee go. And that's true. Remember how the Lord tested Peter concerning his love. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He will test them. Is not the Lord making here out? Well, I'm just about to pass on. I held him. That's wonderful. But there's more here. I don't want thee to depart. I don't want to know another winter time in my soul. I held him and would not let him go. What condescension, what favour that the Lord allows us to hold him. Have you thought of that? Remember what Peter said? He felt his sin. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He did not feel the Lord to draw near to him. What condescension the Lord draws near. And he allows a sinner like you and me to hold him with the arms of faith and the arms of love. What grace, what condescension that we're allowed to hold on to Christ. We fail him. Think of the context here. Why had there been a withdrawal? Because of sloth and ease, worldliness, carnal thinking. Yet here the believer is again holding on to Christ. How gracious is Christ. What a wonderful beloved that he makes us again as he sees fit. He appears to us and he allows us to embrace him. We grieve him. Yet he allows us to embrace him with the arms of faith. Faith is strengthened. And love flows forward, forth in his direction. Now in an initial way, in effectual calling, one embraces Christ. Psalm 2 verse 12. Christ is held in the arms of faith. But a time of slumber and coldness has come. And though there is faith, there's little exercise of faith. I often hear about exercising today. It's good to a point. But far better is the exercising of faith and love towards my Saviour. There's little exercise of faith. But here, There's a holding. There's a great exercising of faith. I held him. I'm holding Christ near to my heart. My faith is strengthened. I'm holding him. In verse 1, I'm on a bed of ease and slumber. I'm not really seeking the Lord. Yes, I have faith in him. My faith is small. Verse 4, I held him. Faith is strong. I held him. I'm so viewing him. He's right before me. Is that you this morning? Or are you still on a bed of slumber this morning? Or are you holding on to Christ? You're so looking at Jesus, you can say he is altogether lovely. He's my beloved. And you're talking with him. You're dining with him. Let me hear thy voice. Chapter 2 and verse 14. And you're speaking to him in song and in prayer. He's right before you. You're embracing him. You're holding him with the arms of faith, but also the arms of affection. Yes, you had love towards him previously, whom my soul loveth, verse 1. But oh, I'm so viewing him. I have such love in my heart. I'm saying to him often, I love thee, Lord. Like the psalmist did in Psalm 116, verse 1. Are you so holding Christ that you have today already told him that you love him? Or are you beginning to tell him now? Your heart is aroused and you're embracing him. You're looking to him with the eye of faith and you're telling him that you love him. What are you doing at this very moment? Are you holding Christ? Or are you still half awake on a bed? If you're without Christ here this morning, take heed of those words in Psalm 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Kiss the Son. Now some young people think, well, kiss? I wouldn't kiss someone. Have you kissed Christ? Have you embraced him in the arms of faith? Be warned if you have not. For we read, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. To kiss is to believe. What a wonderful thing to so embrace Christ as a believer when faith is strengthened and you're so loving him. Are you so holding on to Christ in a spiritual way with the arms of faith and the arms of affection? I held him. And I would not let him go. I'm not going to let thee go, Lord Jesus. Thou art allowing me to hold thee. And I do not want thee to depart. I do not want the cold waters of this world to seep into my soul again. I do not want the deep, dark river of slumber to encompass me again. I will hold thee. And I will hold thee near. Sadly, there are times when we loosen our grip, as it were. Yes, we're in union, but we loosen our grip. One day we will so hold on to Christ in heaven. But here below, oh, to hold him more often. Now in conclusion, notice the end of verse 4. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Here the believer has so hold on, the believer has such a hold on Christ that they do not want Christ to go. Rather, they desire that Christ goes with them and that they would make him known to others. And we believe again here is a reference to the church. Turn to Galatians in your own time. You'll see the reference there. I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I'm wanting others in the church to know his gracious presence and loving voice. He's touched my heart. I've got to bring him, as it were, to others. I've got to speak of him to others in the church. I'm not sure if they're holding on to Christ at this time, and so I must speak of Christ to them. Malachi 3 verse 16, and they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written for them that fear his name. they're speaking. It may be an evidence that you're holding on to Christ because you're speaking of other believers about him. You're speaking to other believers about him. I want others to be touched. I want them as I am to be holding Christ. See here, the believer whose heart has been touched by Christ wants to be an encouragement to another believer that they too might be blessed. They've known what it is to be on a bed of slumber. They may know that another believer is on a bed of slumber. They desire that Christ would be so known to them. I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. The heart is so touched by Jesus. It is all aflame. The heart is burning within. Sometimes we come into the gatherings of the saints and we haven't thought of Jesus. How do we go? Thinking about dinner or thinking about Jesus? Is the end of the service the end of your meditation on Christ? When the heart is stirred, when the heart is aflame, we read, I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. My heart is touched. And as we see in the Song of Solomon, he's altogether lovely. And so the believer speaks of him. This is my beloved. And this is my friend. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. And so I will tell others in the church of him.